Hey there. You're listening to the Unleashed podcast hosted by Pastor Todd Bishop. We're glad you're here. Make sure you subscribe to receive a new podcast at the beginning of each month. And if you love the content, share it. Enjoy today's episode as we unleash the leader in you.
Well, hey, everybody. My name is Todd Bishop, and I am your host for Leadership Unleashed. And I'm really, really glad to have you with us today. We're going to have a great discussion today about a subject that I don't think a lot of leaders talk about, but it's one they need to hear about. But not just hear about it, they need to learn how to put it into practice and make sure it applies to their ministry, their job, their business, whatever it might be, wherever they find themselves leading. But today, I'm mostly going to focus on leadership within the church. I'll make some bullets and some adjustments to where it might affect businesses and those that are entrepreneurs or those who own their own company. But mostly today, this is going to focus on leadership in the church. And so here's the title of this month's teaching, Warning for Leaders. There I said it, Warning for Leaders. And let me start with a really bold statement in this warning, because I've been beating this drum for a very long time. Some people listen, some don't. Those who listen get protected. Those who don't listen usually get burned. And here's the big million-dollar statement. Not everyone in your church is for your church. Let me say that again. Not everyone in your church is for your church. You can relate that to your business too. Not everyone working in your business is for your business. Some are using it as a platform. Some are using it as an opportunity. Some are just waiting for something better to come along. But in the realm of church, we have to understand not everyone in the church is of the church or for the church. There are some people that are in for their own benefit. Now, that's true in any business, any organization. There are people that are just along for the ride. Whatever they can get out of it, however they can use someone, however they can abuse it, whatever they can get as an advantage to themselves, they are going to make it happen. Some are in for their own benefit. We'll talk in a few minutes about how you can recognize those who are in it for their own benefit. Some are in for their own purpose. There are some that just have a purpose in it. Some of it's negative. Some of them have ulterior motives. Some of them really, truly desire to be toxic in the environment they're in. Some have grown up so toxic or were raised in toxic work environments that they want to bring that into a new environment. We've got to be so cautious about what people's purpose is. When I hire an employee, when someone joins our team, there's a purpose. It's written down. It's put before them. That is your purpose for being here. Yeah, but I have another purpose. I don't care what your agenda is, I'm giving you a purpose. Because when you hire someone, you give them an assignment. When someone comes in and they don't want their assignment, they usually carry an agenda. You've got to protect yourself, because not everyone in the church is of the church. Not everyone that's in your organization is for your organization. And then some people are in the church to cause problems, or in your business to cause problems. There are some people that just like to cause problems. And that's just true. There are people that like to stir it up. They like to stir up difficulty, stir up drama, stir up challenges. It happens in the workplace. It happens in the church house. It happens in politics. It happens in family, happens in friendship. It happens everywhere. And that's why, first thought today, write this down. You have to guard who you bring in the leadership. Let me say that for the people in the back. You have to guard who you put into leadership, who you bring into leadership, who you allow into leadership, because you always get what you allow. And so if you allow certain personality types or certain agendas or certain people's ideas in or certain leaders in, you've allowed it. And so leaders always get what they allow. And that's why we always have to inspect things and protect the industry, the organization, the business, or in this case, the church we're in, because not everyone in it is of it. Not everyone in it is for it. And here's what I really believe. There are some types of people that we ought to bring into leadership and there are some we should not. There are some that we ought to elevate, and there are some we ought to de-elevate. And so let's first talk about the people or leaders or traits or characteristics you should never, ever elevate in your organization, your church, your business. Here it is. Number one, never elevate the know-it-all. The know-it-all. This is the person who has every great idea, but has yet to do anything with their great ideas. They'll tell you about everything that's happened. They'll tell you every reason why. They can refute every opinion you have, but yet they've done nothing. They are truly the know-it-all. They think they know everything. They're an expert in every area, yet they've mastered nothing. They can discuss everything, but yet they can't decide on their own life. They are the know-it-all, so you should never elevate a know-it-all. I also think you should never elevate the self-serving. Those are the people that are in it for themselves. They want it for their prize. They got their eyes on the prize, but it ain't your organization. It ain't your business success. It ain't your church health. It is literally their own self-promotion. So they're just in it for themselves. They'll say the right things in a meeting, but yet they'll do the exact opposite outside that meeting. Be very cautious with the self-server. I've had a lot of them come into the church, which is what I do. I'm a pastor of a church. I have a lot of people, they have their own agenda. They have their own ideas. They have their own reasons. But yet, when you come into an organization, a business, or a church, you're putting your personal aside and you're grabbing the corporate. So you got to be so cautious that you don't elevate the self-serving or the self-promoting. You also need to be careful not to elevate the micromanager. This is the person who can't let things happen and then bring correction later. They have to be looking over your shoulder. Now, I got a confession to make. I was literally once a micromanager. In the beginning of our church, it was my baby. I ran over it. My wife and I, we would just investigate everything. You know what we did? We frustrated people. If you over-investigate, you frustrate. We've got to be so careful that we don't over-investigate. Yeah, we have to give accountability, yes. But we cannot be the people that are constantly over our team's shoulder looking over their work and saying, wait, don't do that. Sometimes you got to let them fail. John Maxwell, the great leadership guru, says this way, you got to let people fail forward. And that means inspecting, but sometimes from a distance. Let them do it. Let them see it. So you can't be a micro. Don't elevate them because they'll never elevate anybody else because they're micromanaging everybody else. Number four, you should not elevate the non-delegator. If they can't delegate leadership, they abdicate their potential. Let me say it again. If they can't delegate leadership, they abdicate their potential. We've got to be so careful because if you raise someone up that doesn't delegate, they become the lid of that organization, that ministry, that department, that church. They become your lid. So you got to be careful with those who don't delegate. I like to delegate. In fact, I love watching others succeed. I wish I could say this was always true, but I love giving things away now. Why? It takes the pressure off me. It puts purpose on others, and then our potential's fulfilled. Takes the pressure off me, puts purpose on others, and then our potential is fulfilled. Watch out for the non-delegators because they're usually crazy control freaks, and control freaks usually create chaos, okay? Number five, never elevate the friends first person. Oh, but I thought we were friends. We're friends. You ought to do this for me. We're friends. I have access to you. Guard who you give access to because not everyone in your organization, in your business, in your church is of it or for it. So guard who you give access to. The people that throw the, I thought we were friends, or they disrespect you by what they call you, or they reference you at, hey, bro, you know, listen, those are people that are putting friends first. In our business, in our church, I truly try and put myself as the pastor of the house along with my wife, Mary. In fact, Mary and I publicly do not call ourselves by our first name unless we are referencing our personal life. If it's professional, I will reference my wife with Pastor Mary. Why? We recognize in that position, yes, we're husband and wife, but we're also the pastors of the organization, and she does the same. So be cautious about the friends. Pastor, I thought we were friends. Those are usually red flag, red flag, red flag. Number six, do not elevate the always constant excuser. They're constantly making excuses for every decision, every failed attempt, every hardship. It's always someone else's fault. Real leaders own responsibility for their failures, and they also own the responsibility of the failures of others under them. The buck truly stops at the top. And that literally means that if someone on my staff misses it or fails, Todd's failed. And I have to make sure that I'm raising them up, giving them the tools they need, but I cannot handle excuses. In fact, I heard this quote when I was in high school. I don't remember the last part of it, but the first part was so impacting. It says this: excuses are tools of the incompetent used to build monuments of nothingness. Excuses are tools of the incompetent. It's always somebody else. So do not elevate the friends first. So don't elevate the know-it-all, the self-server, the micromanager, the non-delegator, the friends first, the constant excuser, and do not elevate the yes person. That should be a red flag if they're a yes to every idea. Because I'll be honest, as a leader, I make stupid decisions. I fail, I falter, I screw up. I need people to, we don't call it push back in our organization, we call it pull forward. We want people to pull us forward. And I don't need yes people in my life, I need yes we can people. So they may say, hey, I get your vision, but the practice of that wasn't exactly what we should have done. I don't need people, oh, they're great, yes, 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 yes. There's one yes I look for, and that's Jesus Christ, what he says about me. But I need yes, we can people. Pastor, I believe in that vision. I believe in that dream. We're going to run after it. But if I slip, I want someone to say, no. Hey, Pastor, I think you're a little off there. Someone I misspoke a few weeks ago said something that came out the wrong way. It wasn't my intention. Came out the wrong way. Came up to me after the service and said, hey, I just want to let you know that this sounded like this. I said, oh my gosh, that was not my intention. I need people that pull me forward because they believe in me, okay? Should not elevate the know-it-all, the self-server, the micromanager, the non-delegator, the friends first, the constant excuser, the yes person, or the devil's advocate. Do not elevate someone who constantly has to say, I'm just playing the devil's advocate. Number one, why would you ever want to associate with the devil? And when you make that statement, what you're really saying is, I don't agree with you, but I'll just say it from a third person, because I don't want you to know it's me. Own it and say, hey, I think I have a problem. So every time someone uses, well, I'm just going to play the devil's advocate, or this is one that we hear often in our church, our organization, we'll hear this. Well, I heard it from a few people. My response is always this. Well, how many? Well, two people. Well, out of thousands of people, two people? Well, I'm not really that worried about it. It's the art of the next question. You've always got to ask another question. So if I hear, man, there's people really upset about something, say, oh my gosh, what did I do? I'm so worried about that. Are they going to leave? Are they going to disown us? Are they going to cancel us? Whatever it might be. But if I ask that next question, well, how many? Then I might realize it's really not that many. So be careful of those who play the devil's advocate. So eight people you should not elevate: the know-it-all, the self-server, the micromanager, the non-delegator, the friends first, the constant excuser, the yes person, and do not elevate the devil's advocate. Why? Because not everyone in the church, in the organization, in your business is of it or for it. And those should be indicators that they're not in it to win it like you are, and they're not for it. And that's something you have to always say, hey, I can't elevate those people. And if you do, there will be problems. So warning, 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 warning. Don't elevate those people. Who should you elevate? There are seven people I believe you can elevate in any organization, and they will bring success to your ministry, your business, your nonprofit, and yes, even your church. I think personally, you should always elevate, number one, the godly. The godly represent those with integrity, those who have character, those whose yes is yes and their no is no. They're the same person when everyone's watching as when no one's watching. I used to say it this way: they're the same in the spotlight as the candlelight. Those are the godly people. Those are the people who have integrity and character. They do what they do. They mean what they mean. They say what they say. Does that mean perfect? No, godly does not mean perfect. Godly means they're guided by something. They're guided by God. They're guided by His Word. And in His Word, there are practical principles to elevating themselves as a leader. So when I look at someone to hire for our church, I'm looking for someone who's godly first. They have character. Their capacity may be big, but if the character's not, their capacity won't be able to sustain it, because their godly character will be their biggest setback. And people with great character or lack of character, but great ability, usually end up crashing and burning anyway. So who do you promote? Who do you elevate? First, the godly. Number two, the successful. Elevate, promote those who have a track record of success. I mean, you imagine if you were going in for a surgery and you went to your doctor and say, "Hey, doc, I just want to ask you a question. How many successful surgeries have you had in this area?" And he said, "Well, you know, I've had 6 surgeries in that procedure and 5 of them did not make it." I don't know about you, but I'm saying I'm getting another doctor. Now, you go to a doctor and says, "Man, it's a rare procedure. Yeah, I've done 6, and all 6 are still living today. No side effects, no issues." What are you going to do? You're going to be thankful for that successful doctor. Why is it, especially in the church world, the nonprofit sector, we elevate those who've had no success? We elevate them only on number one. They're godly. Well, I also want to look at their track record, because those who are faithful are also fruitful. If you're faithful to your calling, your gifts, and your talents, you will always bear fruit. In other words, you will be successful. So you got to elevate the godly. You got to elevate the successful. Number three, you got to elevate the hard worker. Do not elevate the lazy, because lazy people drive me crazy. I mean, there's nothing worse than taking the resources that you've been entrusted with, whether in a business, nonprofit, church, your entrepreneurial organization you started, nothing worse than taking that money that you've worked hard for and give it to someone who doesn't work as hard as you or doesn't have the passion you have. Look for those who are grinding it out. They're working it out. They're doing everything they can to be successful in every area they possibly can. Now, they're working hard. They're doing the right thing. Does that mean they're perfect? No, that's not one of our promotion factors. We're not promoting the perfect. We're promoting the hard worker. Those who are in the trenches, who don't mind to get a little gritty with it, who don't mind to get a little dirty because they're working hard. You promote the godly, you promote the successful, you promote the hard worker. I also believe you should promote the solution driven. What does that simply mean? It simply means promote those who are always trying to find solutions to problems, even problems you haven't seen yet. I want people around me that can solve problems and make decisions. I want people around me that can fix it before it gets to me. Because if it gets to me, that means I hired someone who I shouldn't have hired, because that person should be a problem solver. So they should be solution driven. There's times in staff meeting, I'm sure you had it, where everyone will point out the problems, all the difficulties. I want the person that's going to tell me, "No, this is the problem, but here's how we fix it. Here's the challenge, but here's how we rise above it." That person is seeing the good side and the potential in it. People that just see the problems, they're the problem. We've got to be able to have people that see the problem, seize the problem, fix the problem, all because they are solution driven. Who do you promote? The godly, the successful, the hard worker, the solution driven. I also think, number five, you have to promote the opportunistic. Those who are looking for opportunities, creating opportunities, doing things that most people will not do. You need to be able to promote those who are creating opportunities for your organization. Well, how do you know if someone's creating an opportunity? It's when someone comes in and they sit in your office or they're in a team meeting and they say, "I've got this great idea that will help this church, ministry, organization, nonprofit, business." They're not saying, "I've got this idea that's going to help me." They're bringing an idea that's going to help the business or organization. They're trying to create an opportunity. I'm an opportunistic person. Now, I like to say that I'm twofold. I'm strategic and opportunistic. Strategic, I could create a battle plan. Opportunistic, I'll grab something if it just comes up. But if I have to lean anywhere, I lean more toward opportunity, because opportunity always presents itself, and we've always got to be ready for the opportunities that are put in front of us. So you elevate, you promote those who are creating opportunities for your business, your church, your ministry, your nonprofit to expand, to grow for greater influence. I also believe you should promote the people that are constantly learning. I mean, you want to promote those who are aggressively growing. They're listening to podcasts like this one, which, hey, make sure you subscribe and share it with a friend. They're learning through podcasts. They're learning through books. They're learning through articles. They're learning through even Google search engines and things like that, where they're finding new ways to get more information. They're sitting in church services. They're reading books with contrarian views than their own. They're constantly learning. If someone's not constantly learning, they'll cease leading. Let me say it again. If someone's not constantly learning, they will cease leading. That's a warning for leaders. Make sure you surround yourself with people that are constantly learning. If you've given someone every opportunity available to grow and they're not growing, they might not be able to go with you, because not everyone's able to go with you if they're unwilling to grow with you. So you want to elevate the constant learner. And I also think, finally, we ought to elevate the humble. Now, this is one that's rare in our culture today, rare in our world today, because everyone loves to demonstrate and shout their credentials instead of just saying, hey, I'm here to do what I'm supposed to do, and I want to be faithful where I'm at. I want to ask you, are you humble as a leader? Are you so humble that you're willing to give the credit to others for the work you've done? Are you so humble as a leader that you will simply say, hey, it wasn't me, it was a team effort? Pastor Mary and I, my wife Mary and I, always say this about our church. It is an honor to love and lead this church. And it's one of the most humbling things we do outside our family. Think about that. It's an honor. It's not something that we take for granted. It could be taken away from us tomorrow. You could lose any opportunity that's put in front of you. Things can change. Health can change. Life can change. But if I can stay humble, the Bible has a great verse. He exalts the humble. He raises up the humble. Who does that? God does. So if I'm a humble leader, God's going to elevate me. And if you have humble leaders around you, God's going to elevate them as well. Who do you promote? The godly, the successful, the hard worker, the solution driven, the opportunistic, the constant learner, and the humble. Here's why this matters. And this is the warning to every leader, whether a pastor, business owner, entrepreneur. Not everyone in your organization is of it and for it. So you got to be careful that you elevate or promote the right people. So here's my encouragement. Guard who you bring in the leadership. And here's the challenge. Look over your team, over your staff, over your volunteers, and ask yourself, who is in leadership right now that should not be in leadership? Second part of that, is how do you create an exit strategy for that person? Because if you don't create an exit strategy for that person, they will create an exit strategy for you. They will frustrate you. They will get you easily agitated. They will even get you angry because you are stuck with someone who's not of or for your organization, your business, your church, or your nonprofit. You want to get the people that are in it to win it, just like you. Never forget, there are people that you should not elevate, and there are people that you should elevate. Who you elevate will determine how far your organization can go. The elevation of who's around you determines the elevation of yourself and your business, your church, your not for profit. Whatever capacity you're in, whatever leadership you are in, evaluate the people around you. Because if you're not evaluating the people around you, you will stop elevating the leader that's within you.
How good was that? Again, thank you for joining us today. Just a few reminders as we wrap up. Make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you could do us a favor, please share this episode and leave a review if it was helpful. Stay in touch by following Pastor Todd Bishop on social media, and don't be a stranger. Continue to unleash the leader in you.